This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
The days of the super skinny fashion model could well be behind us thanks to a new code of conduct for the fashion industry that asks fashion designers not to have models with a dangerously low body mass index. It's just one of the many recommendations outlined in the new code of conduct, which was developed by the Body Image Advisory Group. Now, Christine Morgan is the CEO of the Butterfly Foundation. They've been really involved in this whole process. Good morning, Christine.
Good morning, Katrina.
Thanks so much for talking to us this morning, Christine. Now, you've been really involved in this body image advisory group, haven't you, working with Kate Ellis, the Minister for Youth. Who else has been part of this process?
Look, the process, it's been a great process to be involved with, and yes, we have been. In fact, we've been represented by Claire Vickery, who's the founder of the Butterfly Foundation and our executive chair. Mm-hmm. And along with her, that we've had Sarah Murdoch, who's obviously been representing fashion and modelling side of things. Mm-hmm. We've had Mia Friedman, who has been the chair. We've had representatives from other health organisations and those who've got a broad interest, I guess, in terms of eating disorders and body image issues.
And what about the MAGs? Because they have a big role in this too, don't they? Have they been part of the process?
Look, they have been heavily consulted as well. So, mm-hmm. Yes, we've certainly been working closely with them, and in particular Sarah Cornish from Girlfriend Magazine, editor of Girlfriend Magazine, has had a heavy involvement in it.
Okay, great. So tell us about the code of conduct. How did you sort of develop the guidelines and what's actually in it?
What we've come up with is effectively a range of recommendations which were put up to the Minister and which she has accepted, guided by three governing principles. So the governing principles were that we wanted to promote the positive of what was happening. We didn't want to go out and sort of blame people, but rather say, look, where there are good things happening, let's recognise that and try and build a momentum to get people on board. Mm-hmm. Very much wanting to work with people and work with organisations in the sector, not against them. So not
demonising people.
Not demonising, not policing, nothing like that. Rather saying, come on, let's get on board here. Mm-hmm. And what can we do to help you? I mean, we're realistic. We know that particularly in the fashion industry, et cetera, that people are there to run a business. And this has got to be something which makes commercial sense as well as having very good and positive social and health value. And we also wanted to be realistic. We understand the fact that this is something which requires actually a cultural change, not just a thou shalt do. We've actually got to get people looking in and thinking and acting in different ways so that their very decision-making is being influenced by a different approach. In terms of the code itself, the types of things that we recommended there, firstly was to use positive content and messaging to support the development of positive body image. We are strongly in favour of fashion using and modelling using a diverse range of people on the catwalks and for their clothes.
Do you think that will happen though?
Look, I actually think it is happening.
Okay.
I think that when you look at what is actually happening in some of the, particularly with younger people, fashion areas, then yes, they're actually starting to see the value of having a diverse range. And when I say diverse, it's not just different shapes and sizes. I mean, that obviously includes it, but also different ethnicities, etc. And I think it's really taking that point of saying, look, the people who are going to be wearing the clothes actually are incredibly diverse. If they see up there on the catwalk or in the photos, somebody that they can actually readily associate with, they, I believe, are going to be much more prone to saying, actually, that's something I can wear. I want it. So I think there's some real commercial value in that. We also strongly favour advertising that supports a positive and healthy body image rather than one that's very negative. Another big area we looked at was the way digital technology is used to touch up photos.
Yeah, I mean, this is a very, very controversial point, isn't it? A lot of concern about this.
Incredibly controversial. And I think what we need to recognise up front is that there's a whole range of what is done in terms of digital enhancement. That can go from something as small as saying, well, look, you know, somebody has got sort of a skin rash at the moment. Do we just kind of tone that down a bit? Right, and that's probably at the relatively innocuous side, but right through to where you actually have digital enhancement, where you're actually carving out around somebody's waist, or you're lengthening their legs, or you're changing the shape of their nose, or toning an arm in a certain way, which is quite a significant digital enhancement, which actually leads to a very unrealistic body shape or size, which if a young person or anybody is going to be looking at and saying, I want to emulate that, is actually almost a physical impossibility.
Exactly.
So we're strongly on that point, and really would like to see that where that is happening, that at a minimum, we don't want it to happen, but if it is happening, that there'd be a requirement for that to be noted somewhere next to the photo.
What about the issue, though, of women? Say, look, I'm 35, you know, you look at the fashion magazines and all the girls that are wearing the clothes that are supposed to be for you are actually 14, 15-year-old girls with no hips and not much breasts.
Exactly. So one of the other things we had in there was that at a minimum you shouldn't be putting adult clothes on anyone under the age of 16. Now, I think even at 16 it's fairly young, but taking that point, I think the other recommendation which we would hope would go towards addressing that for you is the one about diverse shapes and sizes, because we would also want diversity in age.
Yeah, sure. And what about what's actually in the shops, though? Because it's all very well to have different pictures, but a lot of women tell me that when they actually go to buy the clothes, there's nothing but a size 8, a size 10, maybe a 12 if you're lucky. But for those who are 16 and 18, forget it. You'll never get nice clothes, you know?
Exactly. And this is a very, very good point, Katrina, and I think this is the other area we'd ask the industry to get on board, to say, look, start stocking clothes which are in a wide range of sizes. Now, interestingly, an example I can give of where that's been both adopted and has had a very positive response to it has been with sports girl. They have been very open to the fact of moving to include a wider range of sizes, and that's been to their commercial benefit. They certainly haven't lost custom through it. So that's one area where I think we do need to continue to encourage people to, or not people but stores, to actually be stocking a broader range of sizes.
Yeah, and those clothes obviously also need to be designed to suit those body shapes as well, not sort of something that, yeah, looks good on you if you're a size 8, but you know, looks dreadful if you're a size 14, that kind of thing. So
correct. And then once again, that's where if we can, it sort of becomes almost a circular thing or a chicken and egg, doesn't it? Because if you can have the clothes being modelled by women of realistic shapes and sizes, then you're actually portraying that your product is one that can, you know, can be bought by somebody who's a normal shape and size, and they will want to purchase it because they know it will look good on them.
Yeah, exactly. How confident are you that the industry will actually conform to these guidelines? Because as you pointed out, the approach is, it's not an enforcement approach, it's more about guidelines, and it takes goodwill for people to get on board with it. So how confident are you that it's going to be followed on?
I think I would need to be realistic and say that it will take some time, but I liken it to building a momentum and a snowball effect. And as with those who are taking it on board and realising, actually, this has a positive reaction. So Sarah Cornish would say that this type of approach, which she uses in Girlfriend magazine, it actually is resonating very well with her readers. So, oh, okay, well, it hasn't caused any downside. In fact, it's welcomed. Let's pick it up and go further with it. Likewise with Sports Girl. So I think it is one where it will take some time, but I believe that the momentum will pick up, and there will probably come a tipping point at which hopefully the industry will, and the across the sector will be saying, this is actually a good thing to adopt.
Part of the approach to getting our take up is this idea about, you know, some sort of body image friendly symbol of approval. I guess the obvious comparison people have been talking about is the Heart Foundation tick. Where's that up to?
Where that is up to, that was announced by Minister Ellis over the weekend, and she unveiled a lovely symbol, which she is calling the body image friendly symbol. And the idea behind this is that I think the process is now effectively commenced, and she's going to be appointing a panel of representatives from the health sector, industry and young people, chaired by Mia Friedman, who chaired the advisory group. And they will do two things. Firstly, there will be two categories of awards. The first category will actually recognise a specific body image friendly initiative or a product. So, for instance, if a magazine ran an edition where they didn't have any airbrushing whatsoever of their models or any of the photos in the magazine, they could nominate that for an award in that category. Mm-hmm. And then the second category of awards is going to be an uncapped one, where there'll be a recognition of those in the industry who demonstrate that they've got a meaningful or an ongoing integration of those principles that I referred to before, that has been put up by the advisory committee. Now, if you actually get awarded one of these symbols, then you will actually have the right to carry that on all your advertising and promotion activities for a year after the award is given.
Mm. So that could actually really help to, you know, generate some interest from the industry, because it could really make a big difference to, I guess, your public relations if you got something like that, couldn't it?
Absolutely. And I think when those in the industry realise just how big an issue